My name is Mapetes. Yeah, he's here. You just can't see him. I'm not a Superman, but he has the same problem. So you'll see Jeff later. How are you? Good, because I'm terrible. I really am. I'm so depressed. You see, I'm a follower of Jesus. At least I was, until 2 days ago. You see, today's Sunday, but on Friday, they killed him. Jesus died. We knew they hated him enough to kill him, but we didn't think it could ever happen. We didn't think anybody could kill him. He wouldn't let it happen. That's the thing that ruined us. Jesus just let it happen. We disciples and apostles were very frightened and confused when Jesus was taken. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was tried illegally during the night, and he was crucified. He was killed and he was buried. We hid ourselves from the police, but we weren't afraid to die. It's not death that we were afraid of. We were ready to fight for him and die if we had to, but this was different. This was so different. It was the complete loss of faith, the confusion. Our entire world had collapsed. Our entire worldview came crashing in. Our belief system was destroyed. We had invested everything totally in following Jesus Christ as God's anointed, the one who would bring in the kingdom of God to earth. His kingdom would be at least as good as David's and better, because he was the son of David, the one that was prophesied, the one who would fulfill all of the things talked about in God's holy book. He would deliver us from oppression and poverty and sickness and, yes, even death itself. The kingdom of God, John the Baptist, he talked about it. He said it's at hand. It's almost here. Everybody knew John was a prophet, not just a prophet. John was the prophet, the one who would introduce Christ. He was the one that Isaiah said would be a voice calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He was the one who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the children back to the parents, the parents back to the children, and both back to God. We knew John was a prophet. He was a great man. He called people to repent and be baptized. We were all baptized by him. And some of us were even John's disciples before we became disciples of Christ. He wanted us to follow Jesus. That's why he came. Now, some people thought John was the Christ, and he kept telling them, no, I'm not the Christ. I'm not he. I'm not worthy even to untie his shoes. No prophet is. I baptize you with water, but when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John preached the kingdom of God was almost here. And then when Jesus came, we saw that the kingdom began to show itself. We heard Jesus. We saw Jesus. It all started with what he did and what he said. He was the promised Messiah. We knew it. He came fulfilling all that was already written about him in the Torah and in the prophets, in the Psalms. He did what only God can do. He was doing what God promised. He was the promised king. He had to be. Jesus began to reverse the curse. God had sent the curse when mankind listened to the devil and sinned against God. Sickness and death came, and so did the cruel rule of Satan. But Jesus went around undoing all of that, destroying the works of the devil. He healed all sorts of diseases, everyone you can think of, deafness, blindness, leprosy, demon possession, and even several times death. He raised the dead. Jesus called people back to loving and wanting to obey God and to please God. We were there. We were witnesses before and after. We saw people carrying in their sick child or their ailing parent or their brother or their sister or their friend and then wait for Jesus to touch them or say something. They were hopeful and yet almost afraid to hope. And then when they were healed, they would rejoice and they'd thank God and they'd say, "He must be a prophet. Maybe he's the Christ." And we said, "We know. That's why we're following him." At times we helped We helped heal people too. Jesus gave us authority and he sent us out. One time I was with 72 men and he sent us all to different villages and he said, in my name, heal the sick and cast out demons. And we did. It was remarkable. Miracles, miracles. We saw all kinds of miracles. You know what? We grew up hearing these. We would hear them in the synagogue. Oh, Moses, what he did to Pharaoh in Egypt and Joshua and all the armies in the promised land and David against Goliath, Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal, Elisha and the Aramean army. We heard these stories and we realized we're living in these stories. It's now. This is what they were talking about. Oh, we saw so many healings. Let me tell you about one. This fellow, he wasn't even a Jew. He was a centurion soldier, a foreigner who believed in God, a God-fearer. And he had a servant who was sick. And he came to Jesus and he said, please heal my servant. I love him like a son. He's dying. And Jesus said, I'll go with you. He said, no, sir, please don't come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. You see, I'm under authority and I follow my commands and I have people under me and I give commands. This is all under your authority. Just say the word and he'll be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen faith like this in all of Israel. And that's what happened. He was healed. Once there was a boy. His father brought him to us. And he said, heal my son. He has a demon. And the demon tries to kill him. He throws him in the fire and he gets burned. He throws him in the water to drown him. And so we had cast out demons and we told the demon to come out and he wouldn't. We told him again and he wouldn't come out. We couldn't get the demon out. And then Jesus came. He had been on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And he came down and he said, what's wrong with you guys? We don't know. He won't obey. And Jesus said, get out of him. And he came out. Well, you know, healing is a really amazing thing. But you'd think everybody'd be happy, but not everybody's happy about that. How could then someone not be happy about healing? Jesus, on purpose, would heal on the Sabbath. One time this guy said, there are 6 days to be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath and be healed, as if that guy could heal anybody on any day. He couldn't do it. When's the day to be healed? When Jesus is with you. That's the day to be healed. There was this guy, his hand was all shriveled up. And Jesus, in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he said, stand up in front of everyone. And they said, be healed. And his hand was opened up. And there were people angry with him. Can you imagine being angry with God? Angry with Christ? There was a lady. She had been bent over for 18 years. And she couldn't straighten up. Again, in the synagogue on the Sabbath, Jesus healed her. Cast out the demon that had kept her bound. And he said, you hypocrites, is there any one of you who would not untie your donkey or your ox and take him out of the stall to get water and then back again on the Sabbath? And here's a woman that Satan has kept bound and tied for 18 years. Is it not right to set her free on the Sabbath? Oh, there were so many healings. But more than that, Jesus could just talk to nature and it would obey him. One time we were on the boat, and I'm not a sailor or a fisherman, but we were all in the boat together. And Jesus had been working hard all day, and he's asleep in the back, and the storm came up and was so hard, and we're all afraid. And finally we woke him up and says, Master, wake up, we're going to die. He stands up and he says to the wind, stop that. And he looks at the waves, settle down. And he looks to us, why were you scared? You remember, well, of course you remember. Who could forget what Jesus did? He turned water to wine. We were at a wedding. And everyone's celebrating, and the wine ran out. And his mother said, the wine ran out. And he said, I know, but it's not my time. And she said, do whatever he says. And he turned water into wine. And it was the best wine. Now, talking about fishermen again, one time we were out there, and Peter and James and John, they're a fisherman, and they'd fished all night. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus says, put the net on that side. Sir, we're so tired. We worked all night. No, just do it. And then they had so many fish, they couldn't count them. This happened. One time, there were just great multitudes of people, thousands and thousands of people. He was up on a hill so they could all see him, and he was teaching them. And it got late. And Jesus said, "These people are hungry. Give them food." "Well, sir, how can we get food for all these people? There's so many." But there was one little boy who had five little loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And Jesus blessed these, and he handed them to us, and we handed them to the people. And we were right in the middle of it. The basket kept filling up. And we were giving it to the people, and the basket kept filling up. It was just like Elijah and the oil and the grain. We thought, we are in the days of Elijah right here. And another time it happened, 4,000 people. One time, just this last week, there was a fig tree, and Jesus cursed it, and it dried up immediately. And that was an object lesson. So all kinds of miracles. But of course, the best one was when he raised the dead. I remember this one. We were in a big crowd, and everywhere we went, the crowds got bigger and bigger because Jesus is healing everybody, and he's teaching. And then there was another crowd. And so our crowd was happy, and that crowd was sad. It was a funeral. And here it was just one widow, and she had only one child, a young man about 20 years old, and he was dead. And they were carrying him out. And Jesus went up, and he touched the casket. Everybody was shocked, including us. You don't touch it, that makes you defiled. And he said, "Young man, get up." And he got up. Another time, there was a ruler of a synagogue. He came to Jesus, and he said, "Sir, please come. My 12-year-old daughter is dying. Please come." And he said, "I'll come." And we're working our way through the crowd to get there. And someone came up to him and said, "Sir, don't bother the teacher. Your daughter's died." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Don't worry." And we went to his house, and he raised her from the dead. But the one that's the most amazing one, it's fixed in my mind because it just happened last week, was Lazarus. Lazarus was one of us and a close friend of Jesus. And Jesus purposely waited until he was in the grave 4 days. And then when he raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus' body had already decomposed, and he was starting to stink. And he raised him from the dead. And everybody was talking about it. This was the big story. We just had a party in his honor. And it was just amazing. Yes, there's so many miracles. But you know what? It wasn't just the miracles. There's the teaching as well. You know, when Jesus taught, you felt like you were hearing Solomon. He said something like, "Blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called sons of God. And those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of things against you falsely for my sake," because that's how they treated the prophets before you. We clung to every word that he said like it was gold or silver, like David said about the Psalms and Solomon said about wisdom. We felt like his words were better than gold, better than silver, better than rubies and diamonds. In fact, remember with Solomon how he had the two prostitutes arguing in front of him, which is the mother of the baby? And he said, "Cut the baby in half." And the mother said, "No, no, give it to her. Give it the boy to her. Don't let the boy die." And the other one said, "Cut him in half." And he said, "This is the mother. Give the child to her." Everyone knew that Solomon had wisdom from God. Well, that's what we knew about Christ. Wisdom from God. One time the tricky Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they came up to trap him. "Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Because what if he said no, they'd tell Caesar. And if they say yes, then you don't believe in the kingdom of God. You think Caesar's our king. And so he said, "Do you have a coin? Whose image is on it? Whose inscription? Caesar's. Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." David said the Lord was his shepherd. David grew up as a shepherd, and I said, "The Lord is his shepherd." Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the sheep know me, and I know them." Isaiah had rebuked Israel and Judah, said it was a vine that only brought forth back bad fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine and you're the branches and my Father is the vine dresser. One time they said, those leaders who were against Christ, show us a sign to prove who you are. No sign will be given you except the sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the heart of the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And a greater than Jonah is here. He said, the men of Nineveh will rise up on the day of judgment and condemn this generation because they repented at Jonah, and yet there are people not listening to Jesus. He said, the queen of the south will rise up on the day of judgment. She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, yet a greater than Solomon is here. He taught in parables. He said many things in parables, and then he would explain them to us. But the people could remember the parables, and then later we could explain it to them. You know, he talked about God in such a way, he talked about righteousness and purity and love and forgiveness in such a way that, yes, we knew we were all sinners, yet he said it in such a way that gave us hope of being saved, of being cleansed, and of being holy somehow. He told us about the man that had 100 sheep and he lost one. He had to go out and find it. A woman who had 10 coins, she lost one. She had to find it. And a man who had 2 sons. God wants people to repent and come back to him. God cares about us. He told us about the sower who went and sowed everywhere. And some of the seed landed on the path and birds ate it. And some landed on soil where there were rocks underneath and the soil was shallow and it dried up in the sun. And some fell where there was weeds and the weeds choked out the seed. And some, he said, on good soil that gave 30 and 60 and 100 times the price. He said, "There's the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Though the man finds this treasure, he sells everything he has to buy the field. Or another man searching for pearls, he finds one that's so valuable, he sells all he has to buy that." He says, that's the value of the kingdom of heaven. He talked about wise builders and foolish builders, each building a house. The wise one dug down to the foundation, and the foolish did not. And he said, who's the wise and who's foolish? The foolish is the one who listened to Jesus but didn't do it. The other was the one who listened to Jesus and did it. Oh, he taught us so much. Do you remember? Of course you remember. Who could forget the things that Jesus did? What he said and what he did revealed God himself. Jesus was a God-filled person. He made everyone feel that God was near and that he cared for you. You know, that Jesus, when he made you feel like God was here and he came to help us. It's not like most religious people dressed up in their uniforms. They talked to each other and made you feel inferior and common and unclean and hopeless. Jesus made you feel that God really cared about you, that God loved you enough that he accepted you as you were, sin, warts, and all. But because of his love and his holiness and his power, he wouldn't leave you the way you are any more than he would leave a sick person sick. No, Jesus accepted you as you were, but he would change you into what God meant you to be. Jesus filled everyone with love and hope. Being with Jesus made you think the scriptures were true and were about to be fulfilled before your very eyes. He had a holiness that attracted you like the burning bush attracted Moses, not some religious facade like some people that just turns you away from them. So we were so attracted to Jesus. We knew he was the one. We felt that the kingdom of God was right around the corner. It was here, ready to burst on the scene and transform the whole world. That this was the end of time. This was the end of the age. Everything was going to change. We are going to be there when the world ends and God's kingdom starts. And we were in on the ground floor. We were handpicked. We're going to be the new management team for the kingdom of God. We saw Jesus confront the evil religious pretenders, and he called them out, and he denounced them, and he warned them to repent before God's judgment falls on them. They wanted to kill him. We could see that they, the religious leaders, the high priest, they were afraid of Jesus. Even Pilate was afraid of Jesus. This made us very bold. We knew he had the power of Moses and Joshua and Elijah combined. No one could stop Jesus. His wisdom, his righteousness, his power, all of this was from God. No one could defeat God. Caesar would be like Pharaoh before Moses, and the high priest would be like the prophets of Baal before Elijah. And on Palm Sunday, last Sunday, it was so great. We came to the city, and everyone, they'd heard about Lazarus, they heard about all the miracles, and they're cutting palm branches, and they're putting them on the road, and they're waving them, and some are putting their coats on the road, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were proclaiming him to be the king, and we said, this is it, the kingdom of God is here. We knew this was it, it was wonderful. And then when we had the Passover meal, we thought, this is it. He's going to bring the kingdom right now. Now, Jesus had gone into the temple and he kicked out the money changers and the sellers of animals from the court of the Gentiles. And the high priest came and asked him authority. He backed them down. He said, I'll tell you about my authority if you answer this question. John's baptism, was it from God or from men? They were afraid to answer. They said, if it's from men, the people will be mad because they said John's a prophet. And if we say it's from God, he'll say, why didn't you listen to him? Oh, we knew the kingdom was right about to burst onto the scene, and Jesus was the king. Now, that Passover meal was kind of strange. First of all, it started off, Jesus took off his robe, dressed like a servant, and washed everyone's feet. And he said, in this kingdom, the leaders serve. That sounded strange to us. And then he breaks the bread and says, this is my body. Eat it. We ate it. And he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. We drank it, but we didn't know what he was talking about. We were clueless. He talked about dying, but we didn't know. He's often said things we didn't understand. We went out into the garden, and then the soldiers showed up. Some of the servants of the high priest, and there was just a mob with torches and weapons. And Judas was leading them. He betrays Jesus with a kiss. We were in shock. Peter sprang up to attack. We were all ready to fight, even though we only had two swords among us. But who needed swords? Samson didn't need a sword. He used the jawbone of an axe, of a donkey. Many times in the Old Testament, we saw that God just sent an angel to destroy them. We didn't need swords. We were ready to fight, but Jesus didn't fight. He said, put away your sword. Jesus acted like a lamb going to slaughter. We thought he was going to be a lion, and here he is a lamb. It took the fight out of us. We didn't know what to do. We were lost. We were ready to fight to the death. Instead, he just surrenders himself to be taken away. We scattered. You know, we remember that John said that Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But we didn't know what he was talking about until we saw Jesus act like a lamb being led to slaughter. Strike the shepherd and the sheep scattered. That's what we did. We took off. He was arrested. There was this mock trial. The high priest and his corrupt family going on while the city slept. And then in the morning, they wanted Pilate to kill him. And Pilate knew that Jesus was very popular. And he knew that Jesus was innocent. So he had a plan. He said, I'll ask the people and they'll request that Jesus be released because he's so popular. But what Pilate didn't know is the high priest got his rent-a-mob there. And they were there early yelling, crucify, crucify, before the pilgrims and the regular people were even up. They mocked him. The soldiers put a blindfold on him. You're a prophet. Which one of us hit you? Ha, ha, ha. They put a crown of thorn on his heads. They took him out and they hung him on a cross. And then the mocking continued. The leaders came out and said, you saved others. Save yourself. Even on the cross, the two men on either side said, save us if you're the promised one. But then one realized it was true and he said, sir, I can see you are the king. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you and I will be in paradise. Well, that was fine for Jesus to be in paradise, but what about us? We were left confused. We thought the kingdom of God was here. Oh, we were so confused, discouraged. We were depressed. We were demoralized. But then something really strange happened this morning. Some of our women went out early, right at dawn, to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. It was open, and it was empty. Oh, what about that? It was empty. And then they said, we saw some angels who told us that Jesus is alive. Go back and tell the men. So they went back and told the men. The men came, and it was just like they said. It was empty, open and empty. They didn't know what to think. And so here I am with my friend Cleopas, and we're walking out of the city with our heads down, walking towards the little village of Emmaus, and a stranger comes up to me, and he says, can I walk with you? Yeah, sure. What are you guys talking about? And Cleopas says, what? Are you the only guy in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened? He said, what happened? It's about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet who was mighty in word and deed. We thought he was going to redeem Israel, but they've killed him and buried him. And this is the third day. And some of our women said they saw him. And the men saw it was just like he said. And then he said something to us, this stranger. We didn't know who he was. He said, you guys are stupid. He said, what's wrong with you, so slow of your heart to believe what all the prophets have spoken? And then he was a Bible scholar, because he started with Moses and went all through the Bible and showed us all the passages about Christ. How Christ first, he said, had to suffer. He had to die. And after he suffered and died, then he would enter his glory. And when he started talking, it was just like when Jesus had been teaching us, and we knew these were words from God, and our hearts started to burn in us again, just like when Jesus was teaching. And we began to have hope again. And so we got close to the restaurant. We said, stay with us and eat. He says, okay. And so he stayed with us, and he said, would you thank God? And so he took the bread, and when he thanked God and broke it, something happened to us. Our eyes opened up, and we could see who it was. This stranger who walked with us and who told us the plan of God, and our hearts burned. It was Jesus himself. And as soon as we recognized him, he disappeared. We were so excited, we ran back to Jerusalem and we told everybody. But before we could tell them, they said, Jesus has appeared. Simon has seen him. And we told our story, and everybody's so excited. And then even while we're talking, Jesus shows up. And some people weren't sure. They were afraid as a ghost. And he says, I'm not a ghost. You got any food? So they gave him some fish, and he ate it in front of us. And he says, touch me. And we all hugged him. And he says, look, he still had marks from the nails. And he said, here, these marks were badges of honor that he kept. And then he said, he opened our minds to understand the scriptures and the plan of God, that he is the Savior of all the world, that he came and destroyed the work of the devil. He came to reverse the curse. He redeemed us by his death. So Jesus wins. We all win. It is victory. He told us that we are to tell this story to all the people, not just in Judea, but Samaria as well, and even beyond, all through the lands. Go to the end of the world. Preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Everything's changed. He's back. He's alive. He's here. And thank God for the victory of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. We can have our music now.